Succession. And so if at any time you need to catch up and listen, they're going to always be there. So please, and also pass the word on so that others can have an opportunity to get to hear the word of God as well. I want to have you take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Romans in the New Testament. A book written by Paul in his desire to help the Roman church be strengthened in their faith and in their resolve. And I would like you to turn to chapter 12, if you would, beginning with verse 1. And when you find that, let's stand in honor of God's word. I want to read this from a little bit of a different translation this morning, but just follow along in your Bible, if you would. Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will accept. When you think of what He has done for you, is this too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior or the customs of the world, but let God transform you as a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will be able to know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. That second verse in most of your Bibles says it a little bit like this. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing will. Would you pray with me for a moment? Father, I've been asking you to make this a very special time for us today. Somehow, in some way, I just ask that your Holy Spirit, your powerful Holy Spirit, your transforming Holy Spirit, would teach us truth. And help us, O God, to receive this truth with open hearts, that we might truly be transformed. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, and all of God's people said together, amen. Please be seated. Several years ago, I came across a really obscure book in my study for my doctoral thesis. The name of the book was Soul Food, and I couldn't find that anywhere, in any shelf, in any place. I just happened to come across some of its text on a website, and so I wrote the author and asked him to send me a copy, which he did. And in that book, there's a section in there, and if you can ever find this book, great, you ought to get it, but it's very rare. In this section, these are the words that are written. Listen to them. It is in this state of perfection that the Holy Spirit works many marvelous things in our souls. In such a condition, and he's talking here about being one in the presence of Christ, having Christ so dwell in us that we are one with Him. He continues, he says, in such a condition, our whole being lies perfectly still under the hand of God. Every faculty of the mind and will and heart are at last subdued. A quietness of eternity settles down into our whole being. The tongue grows still and has but few words to say. It stops asking God questions. It stops crying out, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" The imagination stops building air castles or running off on foolish lines. The reason is tame and gentle. It stops debating and quits all dogmatism. The will ceases from its own activity. The bluster and zeal of self-action is taken out of it. The choices are annihilated. It has no choice in anything but the purpose of God. Those are incredible words, and I love them. It's the whole reason why I wrote the author to get a copy of that book, because that rings so incredible in my own heart. And I cry out to the Lord, "Lord, help me to live that way." Is anybody else wanting to say that to the Lord today? To the point where our whole lives are completely surrendered and everything is just right on. How many of you grew up in the 60s? You should know those words. The question that I have for all of us today as we look into this process of being ready for 2016 and living 2016 with such great blessing is this. If you don't get your minds right, 2016 is going to be a troubled year, if you know what I mean. The reality of what I have learned in studying for this morning is that in the midst of all of this, if our mind is wrong, if our mind is askew, if our mind is struggling, so will our body, so will our lives, so will our culture, so will our world. For as the mind goes, so go we. And our mind is powerful, folks. More powerful than we can even imagine. I remember a time when I was, I don't know how old I was, probably 4 or 5 years old. We lived out in the desert in Southern California, out near Palm Springs in a place called Indio, California. I loved Indio. It was hot. It was desert. But I grew up in that, and I loved it. We would go all over the place. My mom never knew half the time where we were. We'd just be gone. How many of you remember growing up in days like that? And out in the middle of the desert, I hardly ever wore shoes. That's just the way it was. You just went, and my, you know, my feet were tough. We had a great time, but as a little kid, I remember, especially at night, going with my parents' places, and out in the desert, you had your cities were kind of spaced out, and so you'd have to travel these roads, Highway 10, among other places. And I remember watching as my parents would drive in the middle of the night, you know, after dark, and I would look down, and I would see the lights coming towards us. And I'm telling you right now, if you've ever felt this, and understand what I'm trying to tell you when I say, I thought for sure that guy was driving on the wrong side of the road. And I remember very vividly and very clearly when I saw that, I was so afraid that I would duck down behind in the back seat. And back there, we had a Volkswagen. How many remember the cubbyhole in the back of the Volkswagen? Jump into the cubbyhole and hide until the car went by, because I was absolutely certain that car was going to hit us head on. My mind was playing tricks on me. The mind is so powerful, when I think wrong, it begins to show its way through the way I act. So because I was so afraid of what the other car was doing, I would hide, thinking that a head-on collision, you know, hiding in the cubbyhole was going to help. In a Volkswagen? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. I want everybody to look at a picture, and I don't want you to say anything. Don't say anything. Some of you have seen this before. Don't say anything. I just want you to look at this picture. Take a look at this. Now, just look at it for just a moment. Kind of just let it sink in, and I'm going to ask you a question. How many see a young woman in this picture? Raise your hand. Put your hands down. How many see an old woman in this picture? Raise your hand. It's almost 50-50. Half of you see a young woman, half of you see an old woman. How can that be? In a single picture, some of us see a young woman looking away from the camera, and some of us see an old woman kind of looking down in a somber, kind of quiet mode. Our minds have the ability to play tricks on us. I could show you so many different illustrations of that. Thank you, Jeremy. You can take that down. So many illustrations of how our mind works differently between us. Each one of us think one way, each one of us think another. And the reality of this is that our minds have the ability to affect our lives and our actions and the way we do things. That's the reason why the Bible spends so much time in talking about the mind and how the mind is so amazingly important in the life of a believer. Romans chapter 12, verse 6, we just read, I want to read it again. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Of your mind. Then, catch this, then, only then, will you be able to test and approve what God's will is. What am I hearing, folks? People of God, what I'm hearing today is that if we don't renew our mind, if we don't allow our minds to be continually renewed, we're not going to be able to test and approve what God's will is. Do you see how important it is? Luke chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. In loving God, a part of the quadrilateral of being able to love God is that your mind is in the right place. How important is it for us to get our mind right? Folks, I'm going to say it strong to you today. You cannot learn to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength unless you also learn to love Him with your mind. And if there's something in the way, if your mind is sick, if your mind is in trouble, if your mind is off focus, you cannot learn to love God. Boy, it was quiet. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, He will keep you in perfect peace. Who's what? Mind is steadfast on Him. The mind is so essential in the life of the believers for transformation, for loving God, for experiencing peace. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 says, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. how important the mind is. Philippians chapter 4, what a great section of Scripture. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, make your requests known to God. Oh, I forgot with thanksgiving. Can't leave that out. Make your requests known to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your mind and heart in Christ Jesus. Over and over again, Scripture talks about how incredibly important the mind is. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, with minds that are alert and full sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at His coming. Our minds have to be alert and fully sober in order to understand the focus that we ought to have. Folks, I want to tell you today that's something really amazing, and that God chooses to work in us and through us, even through our minds, to be able to accomplish His purpose. And you got to have your mind right. If your mind is askew, if it's dealing with fear and anxieties, and if it's thinking wrong and it's understanding wrong, then everything else is going to be askew. But let me also say this. Not only does God work in our mind, but our enemy does the same thing. I was with my parents a few weeks ago, just after Christmas, and my mom and dad, every morning, listen to Joyce Meyer. Anybody ever listen to Joyce Meyer? If you don't, I want to encourage you, especially if you're struggling with different things in your life, look her up and listen to some of her things. I've got a little video clip that I want to show, just about a minute long, that I think will intrigue you. And if perhaps you would take the time to go find the book that she's written called The Battleground of the Mind, I'd like you to get it and read it. But listen to what she has to say in this moment about Satan attacking the believer's mind. Listen to it just for one moment.
You know, Satan loves to attack. You never know exactly when he's going to attack, but the first place that he attacks is your mind. The mind is the battlefield. You have to really pay attention to what you're thinking. You have to think about what you're thinking about, because if you don't choose your thinking, if you become passive, you're just kind of empty-headed, the devil will be happy to fill your mind with stuff that is going to poison your spiritual life. More than anything, people buy my book, Battlefield of the Mind, more than any of the other books we have, which only proves to me that people have lots of problems with their mind. So we know that Satan's a liar, and that he uses thoughts, wrong thoughts, to try to bring destruction into our life.
All right.
We know that he is...
She goes on for 37 minutes there, and I don't want her preaching because I get to do that today. If you need to, I would encourage you to get on YouTube and watch a lot of her stuff. She deals with this whole area of how the enemy works on our minds as believers, and it's so incredible. Folks, Satan hates God, and because he hates God, he wants to get to you, and he is going to get to you through your mind. How powerful is the mind? The mind is incredibly powerful. So where your mind goes, so therefore you will go. And so Paul, I think, has come to an understanding of this when he says that we are not to conform to the world, because when our minds are wrong, we tend to conform to the easy thing. We tend to conform to the world. So he says the way you do it is by allowing your mind to be renewed. And when your mind is renewed, you will be able to prove what the will of God is, His good and pleasing will. Folks, I know that you want to know what God's will is. By the way, let me just say, being in the worst place on the world, in God's will, is better than being out of God's will and living in luxury. All of these scriptures through the Bible tell us over and over again how important the mind is. So today, folks, what I want to encourage you is that somehow, in some way, we need to make a decision today in our time of worship to allow God to renew our minds. And let me just say something. It's not about positive thinking. It's not about, you know, going buying a book called, you know, Renewing Your Mind for Dummies. That's just not going to work. The reality is our mind is renewed by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. Our minds are renewed by the presence of the Holy Spirit. We just have to get out of His way. And that's where what we do comes into process. We get out of his way by stopping the way we're thinking and dwelling on things that are not good for us. We must change the way we think and begin to focus our minds upon God so that we can get out of his way. And so let me give you just a few things today that I think are really important to help you understand how you get ready for God to renew your mind. Listen to these. Number one, one of the things you need to begin thinking about so that God will have his way in your mind is to understand that God is greater than all of our circumstances. I want you to repeat this after me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Say it together, all the way through together. Ready? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. God is greater than your circumstances. And once you get a hold of that, once you grab a hold of that, you begin to learn that since God is greater than the circumstances, no matter what comes to my mind, I can say, that's out, God's ability is in. That fear is out, and God's provision is in. My anxieties in my mind are out, and God's incredible grace is in. You've got to create a fertile soil for God to begin to work in your life through the Holy Spirit to renew your mind, and it's consistent, but we have to do our part by getting out of the way. I call this, perhaps, thought liberation. Because we can allow Satan to get a hold of our minds and put it in bondage like you would not believe. I guess I should ask questions right now that are very pertinent to us. And that is, perhaps, how many of you are struggling with fear? How many of you are struggling with anxiety? How many of you are struggling with distrust? And how many of you are struggling with your past and the way you think about yourself in your history, and on and on and on and on. If those things got you, if you constantly are thinking about that and it's not freeing you, then the enemy's got your mind. The enemy's got your mind. And it's time for us, as she says a little bit later in the video, to rip our minds away from the enemy and place them in the hands of God by beginning to cultivate the soil of transformation by which God can renew us. God is greater than our circumstances. He is greater than our fears. He is greater than our realities. He is greater than our failures. And if we can believe all of that, then we can rip our minds away from the enemy and we can give it to God who can renew them. And by renewing him, we will be able to test and approve what God's will is in our lives. That's where I want to live. Anybody else? Thought liberation. Get this. Thought liberation comes from focusing on God in my story. Where is God in your story? If you can say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, place that into your story and begin to focus in on your story, your reality, by saying, God is in my story. Boy, I could break that one open for a while and just say to all of you, if you place God in your story is going to change. Amen, Pastor Steve. When you bring God in the mix of your story and your understanding, not only your past, not only the present, the story developing right now in your life, but also in your future, the story that will develop, your story is going to change because God, who is greater than anyone, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, will be a part of your story and begin to transform and renew your mind by getting you to think correctly about your story. Thought liberation comes from focusing on God in the story. Thought liberation comes from focusing on where God is in your present circumstances. See, you know what? I realize that sometimes life can be pretty rough. Work's pressing all over me. My boss is, you know, having a real bad day and he's taking it out on me. My finances, I can't even find the bottom line that's that low. My health is an issue, you know, on and on. We allow these thoughts and these particular circumstances of our lives to be indelibly imprinted in our mind, and we struggle with it. Well, no wonder. What we're thinking about is the problem. Problem, 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 problem. All of a sudden, our mind, you know, being that sponge, is all inundated with problems. No wonder we're thinking wrong. Thought liberation comes from focusing on where God is in my present circumstances. And as we face each of those issues, no matter what they are, ask yourself the question, where is God in this circumstance? Let's look for him. Let's see him in the circumstance and allow him to renew our mind in the way we think about our present circumstances. Thought liberation comes from focusing on where God is in my future. And here's another one. I just love this. Thought liberation comes from focusing on where God is in eternity. By the way, does everybody know this world is not my home? I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. So no matter what's going on right now in your life, we have something to look forward to. Is there anybody who would like to say amen? Amen. We've got to change the way we think about our present and our past and our future. When we begin to look at it differently, we create a soil by which God then begins to renew our minds. I want to remind all of you that it is the work of the Holy Spirit. And the way we do that is, and I love this part, the way we do that is to train our mind to practice the consistency of God and his presence in all of our lives, whether past or present or future. The way we get our minds ready as fertile soil for God to be able to accomplish his renewing is to practice training our minds to think and speak differently. So there are three things that I want to give you today that I think are really important. Grab a hold of these. First of all, you train your mind by practicing the consistency of God's presence through prayer. Here's what I'd like you to do. Choose a brief sentence or a simple phrase that you can repeat consistently and constantly throughout your day. Practice his presence. You know what I'd love for you to do? Practice his presence all day long. Walk with Jesus. How's that sound? Sit with Jesus. How does that sound? You know, when I do my prayer time, I envision walking down a path and there's Jesus sitting on a bench waiting for me to come meet with him. And I go and sit next to Jesus. Sometimes I find myself at his feet and we talk. We need to continually practice the whole infusion of his presence in our lives by prayer. We should say things like, you are with me, Jesus. Or I receive your grace. Or I'm depending on you. Or I want you to know, or I want to know you. I belong to you. Help me trust you. You can also use phrases from scriptures like, for me to live is Christ, or you will never ever leave me or forsake me, or everything is in your hands, or you are my God. When you begin to do that on a consistent basis, your mind begins to change. You're not thinking about the checkbook all the time, or you're not thinking about the problems with your spouse or your kids or your work. When you begin to infuse your thinking with all of these troubles, no wonder your mind's all messed up. And so in prayer, you say things and you practice this whole relationship by doing that, saying things like, help me to trust you, Jesus, or I love you, Jesus. That will set the fertile soil of your minds where God can begin the renewal process that transforms you. Then gives you the opportunity to love him and to trust him and to know his will, his perfect and pleasing will. Secondly, train your mind by practicing the consistency of understanding God's word. You choose to exercise your mind by putting words and thoughts in it. Did you know that? Our mind is that way. It's kind of like a sponge. You've ever heard of the term garbage in, garbage out? You put garbage in, what are you going to have coming out? Garbage. If you put God's word in and you put it in consistently, I guarantee this, sooner or later as you begin to put it in, it's going to start coming out naturally. Amen. You want to renew your mind? When you want to create a soil where God can begin to renew your mind and transform the way you think? Start putting good stuff in. Replacing the words and thoughts of fear. Replacing the words and thoughts of worry, replacing the words and thoughts of anxiety with things that God brings to us through his word, words of accomplishment and of peace and of joy and of love, all of these words of God's word, when we put them in, ultimately they'll start to come out. And as we pack it in, there's not going to be any room for the other words that sometimes come in from our lifestyles. Now, you ready for this? Put your feet out just a little bit. A little bit further so I can step on your toes for just a moment. Getting into God's word replaces the words you hear from TV, from the media, and from movies. And let me also say this from social media. We, folks, and I know you know this, but I want you to hear it. We are a media-driven society, and whether it's the computer or whether it's TV or whether it's movies or whatever it is, you think that stuff doesn't have effect on you, you're thinking wrong. The more you're putting that stuff in your head, the more it's changing your thinking. Now, Pastor, you're meddling now. Back when I was in college, I've told this story before. The guy was talking a similar subject like this, and he said, I want to give you a phone number. And he says, I want to prove to you that your minds hold on to things better than they have ever done, or better than you think they do. And he starts talking about this telephone number. He says these numbers. Listen to it. 8675. What are the next three words? Next three numbers? 309. How did you know that? Because back in the 60s, there was a song with a number repeated over and over again, 8675309. That's only six letters, but that's okay. There must have been another one in there somewhere. No, that's four. Okay. Do you know what that number was for? That number was a number of a prostitute. Yeah. The song encouraged to call this phone number for a good time. And a generation, including me, who listened to that song on popular secular radio, that number was indelibly imprinted in my mind to this very day. How many years? 10 years later after I graduated from college. Why are you laughing? All of these years later, 35 years later after my graduation from college, I still remember that number. I can still repeat it back. Why? Because our minds are sponges and we get into our minds things that are constantly repeated. And if we're on the computer, if we're listening to news, if we're watching TV, if we're going to movies, if we're doing all of these things, that stuff is being impactful in our minds and it is finding a place. And I say to you as pastor, I want you to take those things. If you want to go ahead and watch TV, but make sure that you are putting God's word even more so that it can find a place as well. And it would be my opinion as a pastor to say to you, if you're watching things that are impacting your mind with bad stuff, don't watch it anymore. Yeah. You got to pick and choose the things you watch on TV. You got to pick and choose those movies you go to. And if in those movies they're teaching things contrary to the Word of God, don't watch them. Walk out. No, all you got to do is stand up and put one foot in front of the other and go to the exit. All I'm saying here, folks, is this. Please don't misunderstand me. Our minds control our actions. And if we're filling it with junk, our actions will be junk. But if we're allowing God to renew it through implanting in our minds things about Him, His Word, and through prayer, then God will begin to renew us, renew our minds, and then when He renews it, He'll be able to take us to the place where we need to be. Here's a good one. I want you to replace the words you hear from your mother-in-law. From your spouse. From your boss, listen, from yourself. I want you to replace those words you're hearing from your parents that have been abusive. From your spouse who could care less. From your in-laws or from anybody who is implanting into your mind a different self-worth than that which God sees. And that includes your own self-image, your own self-talk. Replace it. How do you replace it? You You impact it in the Word of God. You stay there all the time. You read it as much as you can. You listen to it. You come to church and listen to Pastor Steve preach. You let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Let it be lavished in your mind so that those words will be balanced with God's Word, who says, you're pretty incredible. You're amazing, people. I love you so much, I died on the cross for you. You're worth it to me, Jesus said. Those are the words you put in your mind, and you let all those other ones just go by the wayside. It doesn't matter what your mother-in-law thinks about you. I think I got one amen. What really matters is you replace all those words with His words. Then you will create a fertile soil by which God, through the Holy Spirit, can begin to renew your mind. And when He begins to renew your mind, then He sets you up for experiencing His will and His desires the way He wants you to. Did you know that your brain was a muscle? I never thought about that. Your brain is a muscle. And they tell you that muscles have memories. They usually use that with different types of physical therapy. Muscle or as athletes sometimes will do something so much that their muscles get so used to the patterns of their what they do that it becomes second nature. So if you want to do something really well, I wish Michael Kopp was here this morning. What I'd ask him is, the whole golf swing thing. He can tell you, he teaches golf. He can tell you that the more you practice, the more your muscles begin to get the groove, the more they remember the right stroke. You got to absolutely play in order to get your muscles to go the way they ought to do, to go, so that you can play golf well. It's the same thing, I'm told, in our minds. Muscle memory has been used synonymously with motor learning, it says, which is a form of procedural memory that involves continuous consolidation of specific motor tasks that memory grabs a hold of and never forgets. Now, that's kind of way up here. Let me make it simple. The more you do things, the more you remember how to do it. I know that sounds pretty profound. But in reality, it's like that not only in our muscles, in our arms, in our legs, but it's also that way in the muscles in our brain. We have muscle memory rather than just regular memory. Our minds are transformed into a way of doing things, a pattern by which we think, and however we think, it ultimately takes who we are to where we go. So over and over again, we must allow our minds to be creating a fertile soil by which the Holy Spirit can renew us through our everyday process. So let me give it to you just in brief as I conclude. Number one, Satan's fighting for your mind. He wants it. Because if he can get in your mind, he's going to facilitate his thinking into our thinking, and that will take us into places we don't want to be. We've got to rip our minds away from the enemy and give it to Jesus so that he can begin to renew it. And the way you do that is begin to impacting your mind with things that become a part of its muscle memory. By practicing his presence, by saying things all day long that'll help us to be reminded that our God is greater in this world than anything. You practice that over and over again so that your mind catches it by praying. Secondly and finally, we change that muscle memory of our minds and we rip it away from the enemy and we give it to God by impacting his word in our minds over and over. And the more we get his word in it, the more it balances out the words of this world, the words of our mother-in-law, our own self-deprecating words. God's word fills those places and pushes them out away from us so that God then can begin to renew our mind. I'm talking about the words of prayer. I'm talking about the word of the Bible. I'm talking about words of Jesus. In the moment that we have here, let me just ask all of you to be thinking about something. 2016 could be an amazing year unless you and your mind are controlled by the enemy. Unless your fear, your anxieties, your self-image, unless your past still continues to haunt you and your fear of the present, it debilitates you, and the absolute horror of what might happen in the future knocks you flat. If those things are a hold of you right now, I want to say to right now that the devil's working in your head. The devil's got a hold of it. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. But I'm saying you can change the muscle memory of your mind by beginning to infuse in it those things that changes the culture of your mind and the way you think. Through prayer, through the reading of this word, and through just absolutely indulging in those things that are better for you. The fellowship of believers, worship, great Christian and sound Christian music, all of those things, folks, will begin to change the culture of the muscle memory of your mind, whereby God then can work in changing the way you think about this year, the challenges that you might face. But to be thinking about your family and your finances and all of those, your mind is a powerful tool of the enemy, but is also an amazing tool of God. If we can get it ready, God will transform it. If we get it ready, God will renew it. And when He renews it, then we're going to be able to know what God's will is. And we can do it. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? Father, I praise You for Your message that is absolutely clear today. I just pray, Lord, that right now Your Holy Spirit would speak to the ones today that desperately need this renewing in their life. The ones whose mind is so in bondage of the cares and concerns of the world, the fears and the anxieties, the trouble that they face. I pray in the name of Jesus that You will allow us today to rip our minds away from the evil one and to give our minds to You by practicing Your presence, by infiltrating it with Your word, by thinking the thoughts that are glorifying to You. And then, Father, renew our minds every single day. Transform them so that we will be able to know Your desire for us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Thank you. everybody said, amen. Hey, you've been such a great group today to preach to. Thank you for being so receptive and open-minded and hearted for God's purpose. I'm going to pray for you, that those of you today who just feel like you need it, that this will be an amazing week for you. As God begins the process of transformation and renewal, helping us all to think better. So as we go into this new year, limitations are endless. We have a great year ahead of us. Do me a favor and shake hands with everybody before you leave and encourage them, would you? God bless you. You're dismissed. If you wanna know how far my love can go, just